Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to promotion of Catholic mission evangelization, the great mission of the Church. And what a fantastic time of the year for us to be able to stop and think about that very mission as the Church takes us through in the daily readings, you know, this season between the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the anticipation of that great feast day of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ to the right hand of the Father in heaven, where human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ is taken into glory. And a people, a race of people that was, you know, created in God's image and likeness to share in God's life, created for glory, fell from glory because of the power of original sin and our conniving with sin in our own lives. But Jesus comes to save and rescue us, and in his person, the second Adam, not only passes from death to life and begins in himself the new creation, and makes a way for the human race to literally be saved. And that's what it means to be born again by the water and the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, to become a new creation, to become a child of God, to have a power within you now that is stronger than death, can swallow up death in victory. The very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, because Jesus became one of us, is now with us, all that is, all who are baptized into Christ. It's not an automatic, friends, just because people are human beings that they are born again by the water and the Spirit. They're all created in God's image and likeness. They're all loved by God. God desires to save everybody. That's his plan. That's why he sent his son for salvation. But salvation means coming to the Savior, Jesus Christ, and receiving the forgiveness of sins, being born again anew in baptism, having the blood of Christ, the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ applied to our lives, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from the stain of original sin and the stain of sin, and the Spirit of God given to us in baptism gives us power to become children of God, as John, the beloved apostle, said to us. And Jesus rises from the dead, and he ascends to the right hand of the Father in heaven and takes us with him. That's why the scriptures, the apostles, preach and teach in a way of what theologians describe as the already and the not yet. We are already, because we're united with Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit, we're already there. We're already with the Lord, right? And the down payment has been paid. The inheritance has begun. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. The guarantor, the guarantee of our participation in the glorious new creation life of Jesus Christ. But that is yet to be fulfilled, and it'll be fulfilled when we enter fully into his glory. We who are now become partakers of the divine nature are going to, as St. Peter said, we are going to come into a fullness of God's intended experience for us. And that's ultimately, friends, what salvation is. Salvation begins here, but it ends in glory with Jesus. It's not complete until we're there, until we're home, until we're with the Father, until we're freed from this body of death, until we're fully united, the bride of Christ united to Jesus our Lord. And so this is what we celebrate, and then we anticipate even the celebration at 50 days of the day of Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the day the Church was born. You mean, you could say, the Church was born the day Jesus Christ was crucified and blood and water flowed from his side. No question about it. In some way, that can be understood. But fundamentally, remember, the Church is those men and women who are born again by the anointed work of Jesus Christ and pouring out the Spirit of God. He had the authority to do that. He had the authority to pour it out on human flesh because he became one of us. He's the head of this race of people. He's the second Adam who, Paul says, sires us, basically, that he's a life-giving spirit. He gives us a capacity to pass from death to life. We have biological life. It's our biological clock, and it's running down, and we're dying. That reveals a deeper reality. At the root of that is the power of sin and death itself, and we die a spiritual death apart from Jesus. And what we need is a power, is the life of God, to make us come alive. A life that exists beyond death, a life that nobody can give us, no tech company, no engineer, no academic, no nobody, no doctor can give us what only Jesus, the divine physician, can give us. That's the new life. And Christianity is about a new life. So that's what we celebrate. And Jesus told the apostles on the day of Pentecost, he would pour out his Holy Spirit. After 3 years of daily formation with Jesus and discipleship and training, the apostles were given everything, the best catechist, the best, you know, trainer, discipler in the history of the world, right? They received it. They saw the Lord. They walked with him. But yet they weren't fully ready to go. We know what happened on Holy Thursday, Good Friday, what they needed to experience about the reality of their own brokenness, their own sinfulness, their need for something more. What they needed was what Jesus said he would give them. He said, wait. He said, I will clothe you with power from on high. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Acts chapter 1. Wait in the upper room. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, as it did Mary. Jesus said very clearly that he's the one who's come to baptize in the Holy Spirit, to plunge us fully into the life of the Spirit, which is the source of the new creation in us. And so the church is born on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit is poured out first on the apostles, and the 120 that came out of the upper room were part of that whole experience. They're the first. The church is a miracle. It's not just a human organization. It's a living organism. It's the body of Christ established, created by the action of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, and salvation coming to human beings because God's life came to human beings. He came to dwell in us as in a temple, to be born again, as we were saying. So that's the day of Pentecost. And so this great season of the church year, from Good Friday to the celebration of Easter, all the way to Pentecost, we see, and in the daily readings, we get a taste of the unfolding of the church. And I think one of the things I'd love to be able to do, just hopefully through this whole season, is to take a look at, a deeper dive into the impact that the Holy Spirit had on the life of the apostles, indicators from passages in the Acts of the Apostles, the story of the unfolding of the early church, and the engagement with the apostles in following the Holy Spirit that the church teaches us is the first agent of the church's mission. Remember, the church is caught up in what theologians call the Trinitarian missions, starting with the heart of God the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. So mission, evangelization, the work of salvation, the work of rescue, rescuing those who are enslaved to be brought out of slavery into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, begins in the heart of a loving Father. The God, the Father, who sends forth his Son, and Jesus, the obedient Son, who loves us, and we were made through him and for him, and he sent, and you know, Jesus, the second person, the Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, eternally begotten of the Father, becomes one of us and takes on human flesh, and concretely walks on the earth and brings about the salvation of the human race through his life, passion, death, and resurrection and ascension, as we said, to the right hand of the Father in glory, and the new creation begins, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit who sent. And Jesus told the apostles that you need to wait in the upper room. I will clothe you with power. Then you will be my witnesses. Being my witnesses is Jesus' exhortation to fulfill the Great Commission, to go make disciples of all nations. What do we know? Clearly, the most fundamental realities about being a Christian, being a Catholic, is number one, we're born anew by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in baptism. We become children of God, as I said. And children of God, we're meant to become disciples of Jesus, living under his authority, living under his discipline, his life, and engaging his priorities. And what are his priorities? To establish the kingdom of God, to extend the kingdom of God that he established, to extend it across the face of the earth, and bring the offer of God's mercy and salvation, escape from ultimate judgment, eternal separation from God, and to become part of the new creation. That's what the church exists to do, to bring the life of Christ, the saving life of Christ, across the whole world, to everybody, right, to all flesh. And that's what we see here in the Acts of the Apostles, how that is being extended. It's going out further and further, and the church is that organism, living organism, animated by the Spirit of God, the third person of the mission, now the agent who empowers the church, empowers human beings to extend the kingdom of God, to do what? To first make disciples, Children of God who love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, love their neighbors themselves, and fulfill the two great commandments, and to engage the Great Commission, which means go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Therein lies the heart of it. And we can see these realities unfolding in the life of the apostles beginning on the day of Pentecost as they're faithfully, obediently responding to the Lord. They're waiting in the upper room. And we see the account in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. It says, but Peter, I'm going to back up to the coming of the Holy Spirit just so we can actually see how Luke describes it right at the beginning of Acts 2. Might as well do that. It says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind. So here's a sound. You know, their senses are experiencing something. Now, this is history. This is not just some myth that's being told here, a mythical story to kind of inaugurate the Christian thing in history. No, this is literally an account of what happened on that day. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. So it was a reality they could see. They could feel it, and they could see it. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they began to speak in a new spiritual language as the Lord gave them utterance. So a sign, and this is also related to, you know, theologians tell us to the Tower of Babel when human beings tried to build a tower and become gods, essentially, right? To build a tower up to heaven. It's something we create by our power, by our design, by our own initiative, all the rest of it. And what ends up happening, the Lord scrambles them and they no longer can communicate. It's all babble because it's incoherent. Man is not the originator of reality. Man is not the ground of his own being. Man is not the designer. Man is not the savior. Man cannot build a ladder to heaven. Heaven has come down to us. God has come to save us. And God's establishing of his kingdom leads to a new language. It leads to one voice. It leads to become part of one body in Jesus. And it says, so verse 5 goes on, it says, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own language. So here's how tongues was manifested on the day of Pentecost. The apostles were speaking and everyone heard them. When Peter spoke, people of different language groups heard Peter in their own native tongue. It was a miracle of hearing, you could say, at that point. That was one demonstration of the gift of tongues as is spoken about in the Acts of the Apostles. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, are not all these who were speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Describes all the language groups that were present there. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they're filled with the new wine. These people are drunk. So that's where we're going to leave it today. We're going to come back and continue to make our way through the Acts of the Apostles and to hear what the apostles preached and what the Holy Spirit did in their lives. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.